right, we're going to be in Job chapter 9 this morning. The title of the message is, How Should a Man Be Just with God? And before we get into the text and read the verse and go through all of that, I want to talk a little bit about soteriology this morning. And that's a big deal at the church. We've been spending a little bit of time on that, just trying to go over some of the doctrines and the terms that are associated with soteriology in the church. And we've covered a bunch of it in our study through the book of Romans. And one of the things is, there's a couple of things actually that happen in today's, you know, religious culture. Number one, sound doctrine has been basically thrown out the window. Sound doctrine has been replaced with entertainment, pragmatism, you know, emotionalism, you know, putting on the show rather than teaching biblical truth concerning, you know, as in the case here, concerning salvation or the doctrines of soteriology. So that's the first thing. The second thing that happens is these terms are often used interchangeably, and I think we have to be careful with that. We want to make sure that we allow the words to maintain their own distinctiveness. And justification, for example, is not the same as regeneration. Regeneration has to do with the new birth, being born again. John 3, 2 Corinthians 5, 17, and Ephesians 2, verse number 1. Whereas justification has to do with our standing before God. In other words, through no effort of our own, through no merit of our own, through no works of our own, through Christ, Him alone, we are justified by faith, declared guilt-free or shame-free. You know, it's often said that justification is just as if we've never sinned. We're justified before God. God, the righteous lawgiver, has, on account of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, has accounted us as justified. That righteousness of Christ has been imputed to us, and our sin was imputed to Him. He became sin for us who knew no sin. This is one of those things today that doesn't get a whole lot of action from the pulpit. Man is by nature unrighteous, unjust. Lost man. The Bible's clear on this. In Romans, it says there are none righteous, no, not one. All come short of the glory of God. And yet man continues to try and work up their own righteousness in the vain hope that they will please God, in the vain hope that God will let them in on their own merit. But the Bible says that we are saved by grace through faith and not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. And we have no boasting in this at all. And yet many will boast. Well, I'm not a bad person, and I do good deeds, and I donate here, and I help this person, and then oftentimes you'll hear what they didn't do. So that becomes a qualification for their righteousness. And God, He doesn't see any of that. That doesn't matter to God. What matters to God is the place of Christ in your life. And so that would be my question to you. What is the place of Christ in your life? Are you born again? Have you been adopted as sons and daughters into the family of God? Have you been truly saved? And that's a question you have to ask yourself. You have to examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. I can't tell you that. The Bible says the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And so we come to this place today. We're going to talk about Job and his question in Job 9, which is, how should a man be just with God? And so in Job 9, beginning in verse number 1, this is his answer to Bildad. He says in verse number 1, then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should a man be just with God? If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered. And I'm going to end it right there. So that right away, Job understands the proper place of himself and the proper place of God. His question states that. How should a man be just with God? He's indicating in that very question that man is unjust and that God is just. So there's some distance there. One of the biggest problems today in Christianity is an improper view of man and God. It's shifted. If you look at any of the genuine revivals or awakenings, there was always a great deal of emphasis placed on the holiness and righteousness and justice of God and the unworthiness of man. Somewhere along the line, that shifted. Now man places more value on himself than he does on God. And that is one of the reasons why we'll never see a revival in this nation, because man thinks too highly of himself. Now, got to get back to a proper view, a biblical view of God, and a proper view or biblical view of man. And I believe Job got that. How should a man be just with God? So he understands that God is just and man is not. And that's a good place to start. And a great deal of lost people would also do better if they looked at themselves properly. But today, because of the influence by our culture and liberal-minded churches, man has assumed a position that wasn't granted to them from the scriptures. So here we have Job. He's lost it all. He's lamenting even the day that he was born. Over there in the first few chapters of the book, we see him just absolutely broken down to nothing. Now his friends come on the scene and they're trying to give him some counsel and encouragement and so forth. And as the book, you know, unfolds, God comes on the scene and deals with Job and then restores Job back even more than what he had in the beginning. And I think that's an important thing to see. God takes us along. And in order for God to get our attention sometimes, like Job, he has to take us down a few notches. And he has to keep that pressure on us until we get to that place, like Job did, where we see our complete unworth. We're just, there's no value in us whatsoever. And then we see the absolute holiness of God, or the righteousness of God. So the thing that we have to be careful of in our teaching and preaching is have a proper view of self and a proper view of God. In other words, don't have a low view of God and a high view of self. Reverse those. Have a high view of God and a low view of self. You know, man makes every attempt to bring about restoration between them and God. And that's the works type mentality that's crept into a lot of churches today. I get baptized, or if I do enough works, I'll be okay with God. You know, I'm not a bad person. And, you know, they might pick a few of the commandments and say, I've never committed murder, I've never committed adultery, I've never stolen anything. Yeah, but what about the first five commandments? You know, what about the first three commandments? You know, loving the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, and soul. There's something to be said about that. And not everybody loves God. You know, loving God in today, you know, in our culture, you know, God is love, God is love, God is love. Yeah, but not to the exclusion of his other attributes. And God certainly is love, but he's also a righteous God. The man has to understand and accept the balanced being that we worship and adore, God. And so man continues to try to bring about their restoration with God. They try to do works and all kinds of things, maybe their church works or donating money and what have you. And man comes and falls short of that mark every single time. The Bible says in Isaiah, you know, the works of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. God doesn't see our righteousnesses. He sees the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, in us. One of the other things that man tries to do is to minimize the importance of the law. Now, there's a lot of debate today. Oh, the law, we don't need the law. Granted, we don't, but the law is good if used lawfully. And Paul said it himself. He said, you know, there would be no knowledge of the sin but for the law. And I used this illustration when I was talking to the folks about it. You know, if I'm driving down the road and there's a speed limit sign, it says 35, I have knowledge that there is a speed limit on that particular road. Now, I might get pulled over by a policeman and he says, do you know you're speeding? I might say, no, I didn't know I was speeding. I didn't see a speed limit sign. Well, you were speeding. Now, is he going to let me off the hook because I said I didn't know? Absolutely not. There's a law in place that says, hey, you can't go over 35 miles an hour. You're getting a ticket. And so man tries to minimize the force and impact of the law, thinking at the end of the day, they're going to have favor with God. It's not going to work that way. You're going to be judged according to the law. You're going to be a debtor to the law. Christ fulfilled the law. He satisfied the demands of the law. The Father was well pleased in Christ. And so what they try to do is they try to get the law minimized and then overemphasize on the love of God. But neither one of those two is going to go away. The love of God isn't going to go away, and neither is the law, God's standard of judgment. The only thing that can connect those two lines, the love of God and the law, is the cross of Christ. You must be born again. Man must come to a place like Job, where he sees that he cannot satisfy the law. He cannot justify himself. He must come to a place where he is absolutely broken, where there's no other recourse, there's nothing else that he could possibly do that would warrant salvation. Just give up, throw in the towel, I'm done with self, and fall at the feet of Christ and receive his gift of eternal life. You know, a couple of things here. Number one, when measured against the holiness of God, can man truly deny his own sinfulness? And this is one of those things that doesn't get taught a lot of today. What is the holiness of God? What does that mean? When was the last time you heard a message on the holiness of God? You know, the world we live in, it's liberal, it's modernistic, it's all about the culture reigns, the culture rules. Well, what about the holiness of God? Where does that fit in our theology? Where does that fit in our teaching? If God's holiness is emphasized, if all aspects of God's character and nature are emphasized, can man truly deny his own sinfulness? And see, what the world's trying to do is bring God down to their level. He's a good time God. He doesn't care. He loves everybody. He created me this way. When in reality, you need to put some distance there. God is holy. He's not going to come down and condescend to man's sinful, immoral, unrighteous, and wicked behavior. He is not going to go beyond the dictates of his own character, nature, and standard called the law. Certainly not. Can man justify himself by blaming it on his circumstances or his corrupt nature? I was born this way. So what? We're all born in sin. That's no excuse. None whatsoever. You were born that way. How about getting reborn? How about being born again? Being saved? The other thing man tries to do is they try to lessen the force and weight of sin by looking at those around them that are doing worse than they are. In other words, they compare themselves to other Christians or sinners and say, hey, you know what? I've never done anything like that. So there's got to be something of value in me, something that God sees in me that is of worth. And the reality of it is, and this is where people start to kind of pull back a little bit, it doesn't matter how good you think a person is. If they die Christless, they will go to a Christless hell. There is no eternal life for them. And it doesn't matter how good they were. It doesn't matter what they didn't do. You can compare yourself to 100 different people, come up with 100 different things that are different, that you may do better or better at. And, you know, the coin flips. They can look at you and say, yeah, at least I don't do that. At the end of the day, you got to put all that stuff aside and stop comparing yourself to other people. Compare yourself to Jesus. Compare yourself to God and see how you measure up. That's one of the things I said to the folks at the church. I said, hey, look, we can look across the aisle and compare ourselves one to another. And we can fault find and come up with a list of things. But how about measuring yourself up against Christ? Measure yourself up against God and see how you do. You know, God has a perfect plan. God has a perfect justification. It's God alone who justifies. So just understand that these two things, the law and love, are like two tracks, but the only thing that can reconcile is the cross of Christ, the substitutionary atonement. So how should a man be just with God? It starts with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Job stated here in verse number 3, if he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. A man can bring up all kinds of arguments against God, and they won't be able to answer God's responses to those arguments. You know, think about this for a minute. Someday, the white throne judgment is going to take place. People are going to stand before the white throne judgment, and the books will be open, and people will be condemned. People will be condemned based on what is written in those books, or isn't, namely the name. There's not a single thing that they can say that will change God's mind. Not a single thing. Only Christ can satisfy the righteous judgment of God. And Christ did this by keeping the entire law and keeping it unbroken. Christ did this by enduring its curse. Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree, Galatians 3, verse 13. It was Jesus Christ who became sin for us. That's something I don't think is talked about a whole lot today. Christ became sin for us. What do you do with that? What do you do with that? Our sin was the reason that Jesus died, the reason that Jesus was whipped, the reason that Jesus was crucified, our sin. Now over here in Romans chapter 3, we look at, and that's a popular chapter too. We see it on a lot of the tracks, the different verses from this chapter. But here in verse number 21, the Bible says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Notice verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. There is no other way. Verse 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that we might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. We are justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And there's too many people trying to mix the law in, and you're making a mess of things. Too many people are trying to mix works in, you're making a mess of things. They come knocking on your door and say, you're going to keep the Sabbath day. No, actually you don't. Another one comes up, says, no, you got to get baptized. Another one comes up, says, no, you can't drink coffee and eat meat. I mean, you come up with all kinds of ridiculous rules, all kinds of legalisms. All that stuff was fulfilled in Christ. We're not under the law. We're under the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're under the blood, and we are justified. Now, quickly before I have to close this out, in Romans 5, beginning in verse number 1, The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So a couple of things here before I have to close out the message. Number one, we are justified by faith, not by works, not by going to church, not on the religion of your parents, not by baptism. You are justified by faith. As a result of that justification, you now have peace with God. Now, let me ask you this. How does a man come to a place where he doesn't have peace with God? This is the missing component today in many churches and in evangelism. What is it that's missing? A fear of God. Man does not have a proper view of himself. He does not have a proper view of God. Man needs to have a low view of himself and a high view of God. Man needs to see himself as condemned and undone and on his way to a devil's hell. Man needs to see that there is absolutely nothing in him. There's nothing he can do. There's no value in him that would qualify him for God's favor. It's only by his grace that God saves and redeems. That's where the peace comes in. When you are justified, it's like it's a burden, literally, that's lifted off your shoulders. You are restored. You are reconciled to God. Now, the next thing he says in verse number 2, and we'll have to close it out here, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So a couple things here. Number one, we have access now. We have access to this faith. We have access to grace. We have access to the throne room of God. We can come into the presence of God. We are no longer enemies of God. We are children of God. We can call him Abba, Father. And the next thing he says here is wherein we stand. So our standing has changed. No longer are we dead in trespasses and sins, walking according to the course of this world. No, we've been taken out of this world and placed into the body of Christ through adoption, and now we have all the benefits and privileges of adopted sons and daughters. That is our standing. That will never change. That is something that we all have. Job asked a legitimate question. How should a man be just with God? The answer to that is Jesus Christ. Take care and have a good day.